Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive with us. You know, today we are going beyond the surface level to explore a topic that I think is super fascinating, and that's what it really means to date someone with autism. We'll be taking a look at this article called Dating Someone with Autism, 12 Things to Know. And it's full of insights that I think can help us all build stronger, more understanding connections.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how much we can really learn about ourselves and others. When we take the time to understand different ways of like experiencing the world, you know?
For sure. And this isn't just relevant if you're currently dating someone on the spectrum, right? Like these insights can help you in all sorts of social interactions, making you a more empathetic and well-rounded person in general.
Exactly. And a common misconception that we see is that autistic individuals only want to date others on the spectrum. But the reality is they, just like anyone else, they want to connect with someone who accepts them for who they are.
Yeah, the article actually quotes someone saying they want to find someone to connect with that they can just be themselves around. And I mean, who doesn't want that, right? But how does that actually play out in a relationship when someone is on the spectrum? And the article talks about sensitivities being a big factor. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Of course. Just imagine for a second that you're trying to have a conversation, like at a concert, right next to the speakers. The music is blaring. People are bumping into you. Lights are flashing everywhere. It's overwhelming, right? Now, for someone with autism, that feeling of sensory overload can actually happen in environments that most people wouldn't even think twice about.
Yeah.
Like just a crowded bar or a restaurant with great fluorescent lights.
So like even choosing the right location for a date is super important, but how do you know what will work? Is it a matter of just like asking directly?
Direct communication is always a good approach, but there are also some general guidelines you can follow. The article suggests opting for quieter and more intimate settings. Think about like cozy coffee shops, peaceful parks, or even just like staying in and watching a movie. The key is to really prioritize those environments that feel calming and predictable, rather than chaotic and overstimulating.
That makes a lot of sense. It's all about creating a space where they can relax and be themselves without feeling bombarded by like sensory input, you know?
Absolutely. And this extends to physical touch as well. What might feel like a gentle, affectionate gesture to you could be perceived as incredibly intense or even painful for someone with autism.
Yeah, it's interesting because the article uses like a really vivid example to illustrate this point. It talks about a teenager who described kissing as smashing faces together. I mean, on the surface, it's kind of funny, but it really underscores how differently people can experience touch, you know?
Exactly. And it highlights why communication and understanding are so vital in these relationships. Some individuals with autism might prefer firm, deep pressure over light touches. Others might need time to adjust to physical contact, even from someone they care about. It's not about rejecting affection. It's about finding ways to express and receive it in a way that feels safe and comfortable for both partners.
So are you saying that like those big sweeping romantic gestures that we see in movies might not be the best approach here?
Not necessarily. It's more about recognizing that grand gestures might not be the most effective way to show affection to someone with autism. Their love language might be more about like acts of service, like helping with a task they find challenging, or spending quality time together engaged in a shared interest.
Okay, so let's talk about emotional depth for a second. There's this stereotype, right, that people with autism lack emotions, but the article completely challenges that.
Rightly so. Research suggests that people on the spectrum actually often experience emotions very intensely. The difference is that they might express those emotions in ways that are less obvious or less conventional. So while they might not be outwardly effusive, their feelings are just as real, just as valid, and often even more profound.
So it's almost like their emotional volume is turned up, but they might not have the same tools to express those feelings in a way that neurotypical people immediately understand.
That's a great way to put it. And this can lead to misunderstandings, especially when it comes to communication. For example, the article mentions that individuals with autism often take things literally and might struggle with sarcasm or figurative language.
Oh yeah, I remember that example from the article. If you say, "I'm starving," they might actually believe you're on the verge of famine. It's not that they lack a sense of humor, it's just that their brains process language differently.
Precisely. And this can have a real impact on dating. Imagine you're having an argument and your partner, who is on the spectrum, says, "Go away." You might take that as like a hurtful dismissal, but they might simply think of it this way. Routines provide a sense of predictability and control in a world that can often feel chaotic and overwhelming. They create like a framework for daily life, reducing anxiety and making it easier to manage sensory input.
So are you saying that any disruption to that routine can be a big deal?
It can be, yes. Imagine having a plan for your day, knowing exactly what to expect, and then suddenly something changes. For someone with autism, that unexpected change can trigger a cascade of anxiety and stress. It's not about being inflexible. It's about having a different way of processing and coping with the world around them.
Okay, so spontaneity might not be their strong suit, but what about those moments when, like, a change in plans is unavoidable? How do you navigate that without causing undue stress?
The key is communication and preparation. If you know a change is coming, give them as much notice as possible. Explain the reason for the change clearly and concisely, and allow them time to adjust to the new information. Avoid springing surprises on them, and be patient as they process the shift in routine.
It sounds like a lot of this comes down to empathy and understanding.
It absolutely does. And it goes both ways. Just as you need to be patient with their need for routine, they also need to understand that life doesn't always go according to plan. It's about finding a balance, communicating openly, and supporting each other through those unexpected twists and turns.
Wow, we've covered a lot of ground already, but this is just the beginning.
Indeed. We've just scratched the surface of what it means to truly understand and appreciate the unique aspects of dating someone with autism.
So stick with us as we continue our deep dive into this fascinating and often misunderstood world. Welcome back to our deep dive. You know, in part one, we started exploring this world of dating someone with autism. We talked about sensory sensitivities and the importance of clear communication. So now let's kind of dig a little deeper into some of those communication challenges and how to navigate them effectively.
Yeah, so building on what we were discussing earlier, It's super important to remember that many individuals with autism interpret language literally. And this can lead to some like misinterpretations, especially when it comes to things like humor, sarcasm, or figures of speech.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So if you say something like, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse, they might be genuinely concerned about your ability to consume an entire equine.
Exactly. They might completely miss the exaggeration and focus solely on the literal meaning of your words. It's not that they lack a sense of humor. It's that their brains are wired to prioritize clarity and directness.
So how can you ensure that your message is getting across without causing like confusion or unintentional offense?
Well, the article offers some really practical tips. For instance, instead of relying on idioms or sarcasm, try to be as direct and specific as possible with your language. Avoid using ambiguous phrases or expressions that could be interpreted in multiple ways. And if you sense that your partner is struggling to understand you, be patient and willing to rephrase your thoughts in a clearer, more concrete way.
So it's kind of like learning to speak a new language almost, where you have to be mindful of the subtle nuances and avoid using slang or colloquialisms that might not translate well.
That's a great analogy. It's about finding that shared language that fosters understanding and connection, even when your communication styles differ.
Yeah, speaking of understanding, the article also emphasizes the importance of respecting boundaries and personal space, especially when it comes to physical touch. You know, we talked about this a bit earlier, but I think it's worth revisiting because it's such a crucial aspect of any relationship, but even more so when dating someone on the spectrum.
You're absolutely right. For many individuals with autism, sensory input, including touch, can be incredibly intense. What might feel like a comforting hug or an affectionate gesture to you could be perceived as overwhelming or even painful for them.
So like those spontaneous displays of affection, like reaching for their hand in a crowd or surprising them with a kiss, might not always be well received.
Right. It's not that they don't appreciate affection. It's that their sensory system processes it differently. Imagine being bombarded with loud noises or flashing lights. That's how some people with autism experience unexpected touch. And it can be very distressing.
So what's the best way to navigate physical affection in these relationships?
I think the key is to communicate openly and honestly about your needs and preferences. Let your partner know what feels good to you and encourage them to do the same. Respect their boundaries, even if they seem different from yours. And remember, affection can be expressed in many ways beyond physical touch. Spending quality time together, engaging in shared interests, or simply offering words of affirmation can be just as meaningful.
Right. You mentioned shared interests earlier, and I know the article talks about how important it is to support those interests, even if they seem a bit niche or unusual to you.
Absolutely. For many individuals with autism, their special interests, as they're often called, are a source of immense joy and focus. These interests can range from anything like collecting stamps to studying astrophysics or even memorizing train schedules.
Yeah, I can see how that might lead to some pretty one-sided conversations if you're not familiar with the topic.
That's true. But instead of tuning out or dismissing their passion, try to see it as an opportunity to connect with them on a deeper level. Ask questions, show genuine interest, and you might be surprised by what you learn.
It's about recognizing that their interests are an integral part of who they are. And by embracing those interests, you're embracing them.
Exactly. And who knows? You might even discover a newfound appreciation for the intricacies of medieval armor or the history of the paperclip.
Okay, so we've talked about communication boundaries and interests. Now let's kind of address the elephant in the room. Patience. The article repeatedly emphasizes the importance of patience in these relationships. So can you kind of elaborate on why that is?
Well, patience is essential in any relationship.
Mm.
But when you're dating someone with autism, it takes on an even greater significance. There will be times when misunderstandings arise, when communication breaks down, when their behaviors or reactions might seem puzzling or frustrating.
So it's about recognizing that those moments aren't about intentional malice or a lack of caring. It's about a different way of experiencing and processing the world.
Precisely. It's about taking a step back, breathing deeply, and trying to see the situation from their perspective. It's about remembering that they might be struggling with sensory overload anxiety or difficulty expressing their emotions in a way that you understand.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It can be, but it's also incredibly rewarding. When you approach the relationship with patience and understanding, you create a safe space for both of you to be yourselves, to grow, and to learn from each other.
So in addition to patience, what other qualities are important for navigating the ups and downs of dating someone with autism?
Flexibility is key. Recognize that plans might change, routines might be disrupted, and expectations might need to be adjusted. Be willing to go with the flow, to adapt to unexpected situations, and to find joy in the spontaneous moments that life throws your way.
It's about embracing the unexpected and recognizing that sometimes those detours lead to the most beautiful destinations.
Absolutely. And along the way, you might discover that the very qualities that make dating someone with autism challenging are also the qualities that make it incredibly enriching. Their honesty, their loyalty, their unique perspective on the world. These are all gifts that can enhance your life in profound ways.
That's a beautiful way to put it. So we've covered a lot of ground in this part, from communication nuances to the importance of patience and flexibility.
But we're not done yet. In part three, we'll delve into the more intimate aspects of these relationships, exploring how intimacy is expressed and experienced when autism is part of the equation.
Stay tuned for the final installment of our deep dive into the world of dating someone with autism. All right, so welcome back to the final part of our deep dive. You know, in parts one and two, we really explored a lot of like the practical advice around communication and navigating those sensory needs and understanding the role of routines. But now I kind of want to step into like a more delicate and often overlooked aspect of these relationships, and that's intimacy.
Yeah, intimacy is such a complex and multifaceted concept, and it's expressed and experienced in so many different ways. When it comes to dating someone with autism, you know, it's important to recognize that those expressions and experiences might look a little bit different than what we typically see portrayed, you know, in like movies or popular culture.
Right. So are you saying that like the typical Hollywood portrayal of romance, you know, with like the grand gestures, the passionate declarations, all the constant physical touch, like that might not really resonate with someone on the spectrum?
Not necessarily. You know, it's more about understanding that their definition of intimacy might be more nuanced or expressed in less conventional ways. For some, physical touch might be really overwhelming, while others might crave it as a form of reassurance or connection. Some individuals might find, you know, deep intellectual connection to be incredibly intimate, while others might prioritize, you know, acts of service or shared experiences.
It's about understanding that there's no like one size fits all approach to intimacy. And it's crucial to communicate like openly and honestly about what feels good, what feels safe, and what feels meaningful for both partners.
Exactly. And this is where patience and empathy come into play once again. It might take time to really understand each other's needs and preferences, to learn how to express love in a way that resonates with your partner, and to create a space where both of you feel comfortable exploring intimacy at your own pace.
Yeah, the article also touches on the societal perceptions that can sometimes make these relationships even more challenging. You know, there's still a lot of stigma and misunderstanding surrounding autism, and that can kind of put a strain on couples who are simply trying to navigate the complexities of love and connection.
Right. Couples might face judgment or scrutiny from family members, friends, or even strangers who don't really understand the nuances of autism or the depth of these relationships. And this can create a sense of isolation or make it harder to feel, you know, accepted and supported.
Yeah, it's almost as if they're fighting two battles, one against the internal challenges of the relationship itself, and another against the external pressures of, like, societal expectations.
Wow, that's a powerful way to put it. And it's in those moments that resilience and a strong sense of self become incredibly important. It's about choosing to prioritize your love and commitment over the opinions of others, to find strength in your connection, and to create your own definition of what a happy and fulfilling relationship looks like.
And sometimes it's about, like, educating those around you, helping them to understand the reality of autism and the beauty of these unique relationships.
Absolutely. By sharing your experiences, by challenging misconceptions, and by advocating for acceptance, you can help to create a more inclusive and understanding world for everyone.
So as we kind of wrap up our deep dive into the world of dating someone with autism, what's the key takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
I think the most important thing to remember is that love transcends labels. Whether someone is on the spectrum or not, every individual deserves to be loved, respected, and understood for who they are. These relationships, like all relationships, require effort, communication, and a willingness to embrace differences. But they also offer incredible rewards, the opportunity to experience the world through a different lens, to challenge your own assumptions, and to discover the profound beauty of human connection in its many forms.
That's such a beautiful and inspiring message. And I think it speaks to the heart of what we've been exploring in this whole deep dive. You know, it's not just about romantic relationships. It's about human connection and all its complexities and its beauty.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we all have something unique to offer the world.
Yeah.
And by embracing those differences, we create a richer and more vibrant tapestry of human experience.
Well, that concludes our deep dive into the world of dating someone. And remember, whether you're navigating the world of dating or simply interacting with those around you, approach each encounter with curiosity, with empathy, and with an open heart. You never know what incredible connections you might forge. Until next time, keep diving deep.